as we are worshiping, you know, Lord, just give me a verse that is so familiar to many of us. You know, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Those things that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, for years and years, I always thought that that one phrase or that one scripture really meant for the now. You know, when you come to Christ, you don't know what God has prepared for you. It's something special. It's something only he can create for your life specifically. But it's not only for this life, but it's the life, the afterlife. It's the everlasting life. God has prepared things for that as well. Amen. It's not only this life. He gets us through, yeah. But he has a reward awaiting us. He has something prepared that we can't even fathom with our minds. We can't even, it's just too hard for us to believe until we get there and we see what he has opened up for us. Why should you be a Christian? Why should you take your sins and put them on the cross with Jesus Christ? Because that's what God has ordained for us. God is the greatest restorer known to mankind. He wants to restore us back to what he originally created us to be. His children, his loved ones. He wants to have that fellowship with us. You know, when you think about this on Father's Day, what does a father want but to be with his children, to see their faces, and to love on them? And perhaps many of us, it's a time when it's a difficult time. It's an awkward time. It's a moment that we dread because of things that have happened in the past. I know myself, I'd like to say I was like this great father, but I was not a great father. I was a father. But it wasn't always, what do you call it, sun and roses and all that stuff. It wasn't peach cobbler pie. It wasn't ice cream and it wasn't all that stuff. And there were some things that had to be, God had to work out of our lives. How many here have had God work some things out of your life? Yeah, praise God. The title of this message is called Building Bridges. Or you can put Bridge Builder. But Building Bridges. And when you think of a bridge is to get you from one side to the other side. Because without that bridge, there's usually a great chasm there, or a deep pit, or a big waterfront, or river. There's something that doesn't allow you to get to the other side. And so bridge builders are very important. They're important in the kingdom of God as well. Let me read this from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He says this to the nation of Israel. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then things change. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It's funny, I find that in my life, if there are not clearly marked boundaries, I don't know how far I can go. You might say, well, how does that apply to me? How many have your personal space? I mean, that space, like, it's, you can talk to me, but you need to stay at least this far away. Because when you come here, I get a little nervous. And when you come here, I'm really nervous. When you come here, I'm gone. So this personal space is really important. But in this passage of Scripture, do you see what God did? He spoke through the prophet to the nation of Israel. He says, I don't require. He's saying, I don't require all that stuff. All I require is for you to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with me. That's all. It's not complicated. You don't have to be a math scientist or anything like that. You don't have to build rockets. All you need to do is say, you know, do justly. How many love justice? How many just cringe sometimes when you watch TV and say, I wish something would happen that would bring justice. Amen. That's right. But anyway, we won't go there. I find that as parents, we don't always have that clearly defined boundary and what it takes to please someone. or the consequences of crossing those boundaries. How many know that, I forget what the statistics are, but we make decisions like almost every second of our life. Decision. That are being made. Choices are being made. Some good, some bad, some just irrelevant. But we still make them. So, with that, I want to say that our text, or the text I had chosen for this morning, I believe it was Lord, is Proverbs 22, verse 6 and on. Again, if you're a parent, it's another one that's probably very familiar with you. And train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Right? Well, I did a little more research on that. Boy, it got ugly on me, I'll tell you. The Hebrew word for train, because it says train up a child the way he should go. You know, we forget about that train part. You know, like, oh, yeah, with that means discipline them and make sure they do the right thing and coerce them and, you know, punish them when it's needed and all this other stuff. I was raised by a parent who was disciplinary, and with that comes all the other aspects of that. And it wasn't military. It was just life. Anyway, the word train from the Hebrew is konak. It's spelled C-H-A-N-A-K. It's a verb. It means to train up, to dedicate. It was used to dedicate a building as Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord. It's kind of funny, don't you think? But train up a child is really, in a sense, it is to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but it's also to dedicate them to the Lord. That's first and foremost what a parent should do. Is first, God, you've given me this child. I dedicate this child to you. How many know it was Samuel's mom that dedicated him to the Lord? Because it was a miracle birth, and she said, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. It was the first thing, and he became a prophet of God. So we don't know what our children's going to be, but we know that if we dedicate them to the Lord, they'll be in good hands. How many know on a Father's Day or any day, do you have to be a father to be a father? You know, some people, I don't even want to go some places. But sometimes we have parents who are not really, they're absentee parents, shall we say, politely speaking. And so someone else comes along in our lives and takes that position. How many have ever had that happen to you? It happened to me in my life. You know, my mother and my father, they both worked. And so my aunt and my uncle kind of took me under their wing. And they trained me. Not in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They trained me differently things. Because if they're of the world, they're going to train you according to the world standard. And so we don't have any... That's not our problem. I mean, that's not our decision. It was something that was made for us, so to speak. But when a parent dedicates their child to the Lord, he has his hand on their life and he cares about them. I remember as a parent, one of the greatest moments as a parent is when your child becomes potty trained. It's great. No more diapers, no more this, no more that. But, you know, that part of that training doesn't end when he goes to the potty. He says, listen, you don't throw all the things that you don't like down the toilet. It's just you go to the bathroom. So, why the title of Building Bridges? Building bridges. Because we need to build bridges for the people that we love. Jesus said that it's impossible that offenses won't come. They're going to come. They're going to come. And that word offense means it's a snare. It's a snare of the enemy. It's a bait trap. He pulls that stick out and you're caught in the trap of No forgiveness, the trap of resentment, bitterness, anger, all these other things. We need to build a bridge to enable that person to come back or for us to go there. Because if there's this great chasm, how many know the term elephant in the room? How many have been in that room? Oh, my goodness. The air is so thick you can cut it with a knife. And you say, the one thing you want to do is get out of the room. But you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be bridge builders. Building a bridge so the elephant can get out of the room, number one. And building a bridge so that person that's offended or whatever can come and be reconciled and restored to a right relationship. The same as God did with Jesus Christ. Isn't that the way it went? When I think of it, they used to have, four spiritual laws in a little booklet. Do you remember that, Rick? Thank you. Yeah. And so here's a picture, a great chasm. We're on this side. God's on the other side, and there's no way across. God says, I know how to fix that. I'm going to send my son Jesus. He's going to lay down his life so that you can come back to me. Building bridges will cost you your life. Because see, what do we say in Micah? Do justly, love kindness, and walk humbly before God. And basically what it's saying is, I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to be like me. I gave my best for you when you were at your worst. I know raising children or just watching children from a distance, watching families, sometimes pastors get the opportunity to watch one generation, another generation, and see another generation coming in. And they can watch how the first generation raised their children and how those children raised their children. You know, and sometimes we wish you had this big eraser. I wouldn't have done that. But we can't do that, can we? But what we can do is we look at our own lives and the mistakes that we've made. I look at it this way. I believe it was the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. He says, you know, as a grandparent, we watch our children raise their children. And it's like, it's like watching your movie without the editing. How many know we edit our parenting sometimes? We edit it. Oh, no. But when you watch your own kids doing the same things, it's raw footage. So, in this whole thing, I missed that first part about training a child. Went about it wrong. Trying to force them to do what I knew was right. But that's not how to do it. I realized that in order to train a child, love has to be the first and most important thing. Mercy and grace. And that has to be intertwined with whatever discipline you might have to bring. My wife and I, we were both single parents when we got married. And I had four children. She had three, and we had one together. And I guess I'd say it really wasn't that easy. We were in love, but teaching the children how to love one another also is another story. Because we all have a story, don't we? And it seems that the children that we have the most trouble with are the ones that we bond with the most. Mainly because they get all of our attention. But no, that's not it at all. It's because we've overcome. When you overcome something, it's like tapestry. It puts a picture in the front and it ties a knot in the back. And then another thing is overcome and it's another knot in the back of that tapestry. And so what the people see on this side is a nice picture, but They don't see the knotted back of all the things that caused that picture to look as good as it does. Because training requires love, patience, repetition, and reward. It demonstrates planning and purpose. It demonstrates pleasing someone else other than yourself. It creates happiness, seeing and experiencing the joy that it brings. If you can't see the end result, what are you trying to do? You need to see that there's... People in the business world and family life, social circles, if there's offenses that happen, you need to see that that person needs to see hope that that relationship can be restored. How many have been on the outs and you said, that's the end, it's over, it's done, I'm not going back there? I've listened to people countless times talk to me, I'll never forgive that person. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't have no idea. Well, you have no idea what you've done to God. But see, you can't just blurt that out. You have to show them that there is hope, that there is a better way, there is a better solution. I know when I started trying to apply these things into my own life and raising my children, and one in particular, is a real hard case. This is about four or five of the kids were kind of, we'd say were hard cases, tough, difficult. Many separations, shall we say. And this one in particular. And if you're a bridge builder, you're the first one on the site. You're the first one that's the initiator to build that bridge. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It doesn't matter. That's the offender. He's the one or she's the one. It doesn't matter. You can point your finger there all day long. But God says, unless you start building a bridge, nothing's going to happen. You're the one who has an ear to hear what my spirit is saying. So you're the one that's more liable in this whole situation. And so you need to be the initiator. How many of the scripture says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Who is the initiator? Okay, God is not the initiator, but God is the one that brings and applies the mercy in your life. God is the one who brings the forgiveness in your life. God is the one who is the reconciler. He's the one that wants that restoration even more than you do. And so this one child was really a trial to me. And I remember I had to go to him. I had to. I was under conviction. Had to ask his forgiveness. I went there and I said, I am so sorry. I can remember that day. What a glorious day to be reconciled, to be restored, to have that relationship once again intact. So beautiful. Yeah. I wish the story ended there, you know. But it was right after that that he started, he would call us. He lived in New Jersey at the time. And he'd call us, he'd call me because he did carpentry work and I'm a carpenter by trade. He said, hey, Dad, what do you do with this? And it's just great conversation. He'd call his mother all the time. Hey, Mom. And, you know, and then it was a silent time for a little bit. And then he called his mother back. And he said, hey, Mom. And he had some questions for her. And she responded to him, what should I do, Mom? What should I do? She said, you need to go back to church. You need to go back to church. And so there was another time, a little bit of silence. He calls. He's talking to his mother, Mom, I went to church. And he was close to New York. So he went to Times Square Church. Pastor Wilkerson was still alive at that point. He said, I was in there and I was up in the balcony and And I don't know, some people were talking to me, and next thing I know, I'm down at the altar, and I'm kneeling at the altar, and I'm just crying, I'm sobbing my heart out. Do you think it was God, Mom? Do you think it was God? I'll call you back later with the answer. No, it wasn't that. She said, yeah, that was God. God restoring. Building bridges. That bridge hadn't been built, he wouldn't have been at that church. You know, all our kids had given their lives early on, given their lives to Christ. He was one of them. Got pictures of him in his baptism. He was so demonstrative. Anyway. There was another time he called a house, and he's still having troubles with his relationships. And then we didn't hear from him. And it was, a short time after, maybe weeks, I got a phone call from the New Jersey Police Department. I said, oh, great. I didn't know what to think. He said, how could it be this hard so long ago? So we called you to let you know that we found your son in his apartment. It seems he's died of an overdose. And what does a parent do? You built the bridges. You did all the checked off all the boxes, and you get this message. What do? You cry. Your emotions take over. No one can ever express to someone just how that feels, you know? And so for a time, we were building bridges of empathy to one another. Strength. Strengthening our relationship. It was a while afterwards. That God spoke to me. Scripture says that God will work everything for our good. Things that we go through, things that we suffer, things that devastate us, God will turn them around and we'll see his glory. He sat me down and he said, son, you know, I lost a son too. It's something that you never think of until you've lost your own son. And it just was such a revelation that rang all the bells in my head. It was sometime after that, because there's still stuff you deal with. You know, my other two kids going to New Jersey, bringing his belongings home, and just seeing that, just wave after wave of grief. Then God sat me down, and this time says, I need to talk to you. How many know you're never too busy to hear from God? I didn't say, call me back later. No. I wanted to hear what he had to say. So he said, you have a choice. You see, because I realized with grief and loss and things of that nature, I can go right now to when I received that phone call. I can remember everything exactly the way it happened. I can remember exactly what he said. I can go to the funeral parlor. I can go to the graveside. I can go to any place and still recall every single thing intricately, because it so devastates you. And God says, you can choose to live in the past and you will be utterly worthless to me because you're not in the present. Or you can choose to live in the present where I can use you and what you've experienced and what I've brought you through to share with others. And you can live in the future of what you'd like to see things be, and I can't use you there either. You see, God has given us this time to live in. This is where God moves and operates. He lives in this time. He doesn't go back and change things. No, he doesn't. That happened. That's done. But I can use that past, God says. I can use that to strengthen and mold and shape you to be more Christ-like. How many know that God and Christ, they watched humanity. Their hearts were bruised, kicked, stepped upon, stabbed, reproached, everything else. How many know when Jesus was being, before his crucifixion, what did they do? They mocked him, put a robe on him, thorns on his head, spit on him, blasphemed him, called him names. So he was living in the present. He felt all that. And when he got on that cross, he was looking to our future. He says, I've got to do this, because if I don't, they won't have a future. If I don't do this, they'll have absolutely no hope. And I'm going to do it because my Father sent me here, and I said, yes, I'll go. He built a bridge that no one else could ever possibly do. And many times in our relationships, if we're offended or offended someone, we're the only ones that can build that bridge back to bring hope, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration, and a new future. Building bridges. Yeah. Maybe in the prodigal's life, God had built that bridge way beforehand. And that prodigal was able to come back home. He came back home. He walked across that bridge. He says, Dad, I don't even want to be treated like a son anymore. No, the father was right there with open arms, because he waited for that moment. He waited for that moment. Maybe there's someone in your life that is still waiting for a moment that you come and approach them. I don't know. But God knows, and you know probably. You need to go and be reconciled. But you don't know what that person said to me. Well, maybe I don't. But I've been falsely accused. And I'll tell you, those are some of the worst hurts, the deepest wounds that you can get. Scripture says in Proverbs, a wounded spirit, who can mend? They're like the bars of a castle. The Lord Jesus Christ can. And you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Had I not gone to my son that day and asked forgiveness, the life he had left we would have never experienced. I am so happy for that. So happy. What's a good part of the story? Well, he had two daughters, of which we're still in relationship with. Still haven't come to our house. What's the better part of the story? The better part of the story is the rest of the family looked on and watched how we handled this situation, watched our grieving, watched our time of grieving, but watched us be restored little by little. And the relationship we have with them is even tighter. It's more interwoven. I've had the privilege of counseling parents. Remember this one couple, very godly couple, they just started sharing one day and talked about they hadn't talked to their daughter in years, and that they hadn't seen their grandkids ever. It just blew my mind. I said, what are you guys doing? So counseling, I said, just need to go back. You need to back up a little bit. Just go back and just say hi. Just make some kind of contact with them. And today they're having their grandkids over their house. Restoration, because they took the first step. I had done a retreat with another pastor friend of mine. On that retreat, everything's hunky-dory and everything. And after the retreat, and we both went home and... Another friend of mine said he was talking to him. This is years later. He says, wow, I was talking to him. I mentioned your name. And man, he's just like, oh, that guy, I hate that guy. He really offended me. And I'm saying, I'm like flabbergasted. I offended him? He never said a word. And so, your choice. You got a choice. Well, I'll take that relationship, throw it in the garbage cans. Obviously, he doesn't want it to work. But I chose to pick up the phone and call him. Say, listen, I heard that I had offended you. I would never offend you. It would never be my intention to offend you. And if I have, truly, I'm sorry. And restoration takes place. Reconciliation. Once again, the road, that bridge had to be made. I want to... check my mail. That's funny. Granddaughter I was talking about just texted. That's not what I was looking for. What I was looking for is a poem. A poem by Robert Frost. Maybe some of you know it. The Road Not Taken. Sometimes poetry says it better than anybody. He goes on, he says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both. And being one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair. And having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first one for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I ever should come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. You want to make a difference? It takes taking a road that might be a little more difficult, a little less trodden, but very necessary. I've only got six more pages. Don't worry. But they're short. They're typewritten. I used a 6 font. No. No. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 4:20. And it's funny about scripture. I had taken this proverb and I had taken it to memory, memorize it. But how many know a proverb can speak to this area, it can speak to this area, it can speak to this area. And I was memorizing it for this area, never seeing the other most important part. He says, "My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And put perverse lips far from you, and let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your feet from evil." A father to a son, setting before him how he should live his life. What's most important? Keep these words in the midst of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. As a person, as a human being, everybody you come in contact with, the issues of life flow from you out of your mouth many times. How many? Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can break a person. We can just cause them to think evil about themselves, or we can make them say, "Wow, what a great day. I've got a day in front of me, and I can do these great things because God is with me." Building bridges to build relations requires love, patience. It demonstrates planning, purpose. It demonstrates pleasing someone. It demonstrates the love of God giving mercy where mercy is really not deserved. It demonstrates giving grace to cover the faults and the flaws and the mistreatments that took place. I know many people with parents that had abused their children, and how those children chose to forgive. They chose to have a relationship that was more meaningful than what was given them. Just because you make a mistake doesn't mean I have to. But I can show you by my own life how things can be. Not how they could have been. It doesn't matter how they could have been. That's past. But how they can be now in the future. Jesus said this: "I do always those things that please the Father." Because he said that, I realized one thing. Jesus knew how to please his Father. And I realized another thing. The Father must have showed him pleasure at some of the things that he was doing. So we can know how to please the Father. How? Oh, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. When Jesus told the disciples, "Go and do what I've done. Go and do likewise." I think the main thrust of what he was meaning, not like all the signs and wonders, the miracles, that's part of it, yes. But do like I've done. I've forgiven them. I've demonstrated the love of God to them. I've applied my grace and mercy. I've given them all the gifts I have to give. And each one of us in this room has a gift, or gifts, to give to everyone we encounter because of the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, are you ready to build a bridge? Or two, or three, or four? Today, let's make a difference for the kingdom of God, as we've been called to be ambassadors for the King of Kings and for God's kingdom, which is to reign upon the face of this earth. That we can overcome evil by showing love. That we can measure by measuring with a ruler of love. I thank you, Pastor Rick, for allowing me to share this morning. And I thank you, church, for listening. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity to share some of the things that He's brought me through and still yet to bring us through. But the question still remains, when you walk out these doors, will you become a bridge builder? Or will you try to get across that chasm a different way? Or will you say, well, they're over there, they can come to me? No, you need to be an initiator, because Christ initiated it for you. He gave you first. What's the scripture say? That God loved us first. We didn't go to Him. He came to us. So Jesus says, go and do likewise. Amen. Pastor Rick?
What a marvelous place. The From Among Us. God has raised each of us up and put these treasures in our hearts to be shared. And I'm glad for the freedom that we all have, any one of us. If you have a word, let me know, because that's what we're about. We are the body of Christ. And this is a place we can come, be honest and truthful with each other, and watch God continue to build those bridges, because we're all bridge builders. We've already built bridges between us, and look at all the years they've lasted. Because God bridges are never broken once you build them in Him. And I'd like to close with prayer. Father, I just thank you today. I thank you for those that have been a part of your kingdom for so long, and they're like grandpas in the faith to us. And I thank you, Father, today that even we could be here to sing songs of praise and worship and pray and share testimonies of a real God who does real things in our lives. And Lord, as we make a choice to stay for lunch, and however long they've kept it hot for us, that's okay. It'll be just fine. You're good at heating things up. And Father, we just thank you for that time of precious fellowship and ministries that we share at the tables. And if there's anyone here in the house today that needs prayer, that's available too. And thank you for blessing this time and blessing the lunchtime and fellowship downstairs. In Jesus' name, amen.